Book of Romans, chapter 4 and verse 20, Paul writing, he's speaking of Abraham, and he said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And this evening, for a little while, I want to talk to us on this subject, fully persuaded. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in worship and in honor of the Word of God. Has anybody ever told you something that you struggled to believe? Might have been too good to be true. Might have been just a little too slanderous. Maybe the person just flat wasn't trustworthy. From the prevalence of social media scams to political rhetoric that is unhinged from truth to AI-generated articles and videos, no wonder we live in a cynical and confused culture. And if you find yourself this evening just a bit skeptical about anything you hear from anyone, you're not alone. A May 8, 2025 article from the Pew Research Center stated that the share of adults who said most people can be trusted declined. Imagine that. From 46% in 1972 to 34% in 2018, where it remained in 2024 studies. An October 17, 2024 article from Pew Research further demonstrated our deepening mistrust, not just in fellow individuals, but in long-respected institutions, from the government to news media to education to religion to science. And I get it. I really get it. But if we are not careful, our doubts about the veracity and the trustworthiness of individuals and institutions can influence our trust in God and His Word and can cause us to waffle in our faith and our walk with God. And when we do, that makes us vulnerable to the manipulative lies of the enemy of our soul. So my mission tonight is to encourage us, to remind us from the Bible, to make up our minds to live with an unshakable confidence in Jesus Christ. To this end, Numbers 23 and 19 summarizes what all of the Bible affirms: God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Jesus prayed this just prior to his arrest and crucifixion in the garden. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Paul wrote it this way to the Corinthians: God is faithful, by whom you were called in the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. To the Thessalonians, Paul also wrote, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Would you just say that? He will do it. And to Timothy, Paul left no question as to the trustworthiness of God and his word, for he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Whether I believe it or not, God is faithful and his word is true. But I do believe it tonight. I am fully persuaded that God's word is true, and that God is true to his word. I remain confident in that. And my prayer is that tonight, before you leave and before those joining us online leave where they are at, that we will all leave fully persuaded in like manner. So this evening, let's take a quick tour of some of the tenets of our unshakable confidence in God. John wrote this in his first letter to the early church. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Remember that treasure song? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Paul understood that this truth was more than a cute song. It was an integral part of our faith. We see this in his prayer for the Ephesians when he said that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We see it in his letter to the Romans when Paul wrote in Romans 8 and 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you. Whether you are experiencing tragedy or triumph, God loves you. Whether you feel blessed or you are woe is me, God loves you. Whether you suffer the sting of human rejection or you enjoy the joy of human affirmation, God loves you. It is certain, it is sure, it is unconditional, it is undeniable. And whether you love yourself or you're struggling with the love of others, you can look in the mirror and you can know this truth. I am persuaded God loves me. He does. And we should also be fully persuaded of the faith that has been entrusted to the saints of God. The faith of Scripture that teaches us that who God is, how we are reconciled to God, and how we live a life pleasing to him. Hear Paul's recap of the faith to the Colossians in Colossians 1 and 19. He wrote, for it pleased the Father that in him, speaking of Jesus Christ, all the fullness should dwell. And by him, Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And then Paul said, in you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he, Jesus Christ, has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in God's sight. Peter, Paul, the entirety of the New Testament, they're all clear. They're all in agreement that we are saved by grace through faith by the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we apply that in our life through our repentance, through baptism in the name of Jesus, and by receiving the Spirit in our lives. You don't have to waffle in confusion. You don't have to wonder if it's really true. The Bible affirms conclusively, every biblical apostle affirms that this is the gospel and this is how we are saved through Jesus Christ. But Paul wasn't finished in his admonition to the Colossians, for he said, as we just read, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You and I can, and in fact, we must continue to live fully persuaded of the faith of the scriptures that has been handed down and entrusted to us as the saints. And this includes not just who God is, and it includes not just how we are reconciled to God, but it includes how we walk with Him and how we live a life that pleases Him. It's why Paul would reach back and quote those Old Testament proclamations in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 when he wrote and reminded the Corinthians, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And Paul said, "Therefore, having those kind of promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord." Fully persuaded of the faith. You see, questions about God, questions about being reconciled to God, questions about how to really live out a life that pleases and honors God, the questions are fine. God is not intimidated or afraid of any question we have. His word answers every question of life. It answers them all. But when we live in perpetual questioning, always wondering about the gospel, always wondering about the principles of the Bible, that is not pleasing to God. Instead, the Bible would tell us that we need to prayerfully go to the Bible and we need to anchor our life in the bedrock of truth. You don't have to do that alone. That's why God gave us spiritual leaders. That's why God gives spiritually mature believers to come along beside us. And when we have questions and when our faith is challenged, that you don't have to live in this waffling world of indecisions. You can anchor yourself in the truth of God's word, and God's word will order your steps and guide you to know what is true. And if you're wondering about the Bible, well, did you receive the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Have you ever felt the tangible presence of God? Have you ever experienced or witnessed a miracle in your life or someone else? And if the answer to any of those questions is yes, then those experiences stand as affirmation that the Bible is true. You have the Bible, you have your experience with the Bible, you can trust it and anchor your life in truth. And I'm repeating myself, but my prayer tonight is that someone, and I believe more than a few, will leave this place fully persuaded that God loves you and persuaded this is not our tradition, this is not a practice that's our brand, this is the faith of the Scriptures. The oneness of God is absolute. We are reconciled through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and our baptism and our repentance and receiving the Spirit are not cute gifts. They are essential to being saved, and so is living a life of personal holiness. You see, it's not semantics. It's not our brand. It's not our tradition. It is the truth, the cumulative, the continuous witness of Scripture, the faith handed to us as the saints of God. Have to hurry, but we should also be fully persuaded of this, and that is the priority of prayer that Pastor John's preached about and taught about last Wednesday. Paul said, I love this passage. He used it, 1 Timothy 2 and 1. "Therefore, I exhort first of all that," what? supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for, would you just say all men? Whether you like them or not. Whether they fall in the enemy category or the friendly category, doesn't really matter. Jesus said, Paul wrote, first of all, pray for all men. You don't know their name, but guess what? God knows their name, sees their face, speaks their language. And when you say, God, I pray for all men, God's a big enough God to know what you're saying, and he can touch all people everywhere. Verse 2, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch this. Who desires all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of truth. We pray for all people because God desires for all people to be saved. This was his mission. But you and I must also be fully persuaded that it is now our mission. Jesus said, it is written, and it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Why? That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So I hope tonight you're fully persuaded about God's love. I want you to be fully persuaded by the word of God, of God's identity, of the plan of how we're reconciled to God, his saving grace. And I want you to be fully persuaded that God has a mission for your life. But I also want you to leave here persuaded, fully persuaded in the goodness of God. Sometimes we live below our means, battered by the accuser of the saints, wrestling with our own goodness so that we question God's goodness. But the psalmist invites us to do this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in him. Jesus taught, seek the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So I just felt directed in my morning prayers this morning to encourage you to anchor your faith in the goodness of God. The psalmist said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God is with you. God is for you. God will never leave you. God will never abandon you. He is always working for you. He stands guard behind you. He's already been there before you get there. He is good. His mercy and his goodness are always and forever with us. You can be fully persuaded that God is good. In the valley of distress, God is good. In the delight of blessing, God is good. When I feel lonely, God is good. When I feel surrounded by friends, God is good. When the blessings of God have given me abundant bank accounts, God is good. When I'm down to trying to figure out how it's all going to get paid, God is good. I just want you to know tonight, you can be fully persuaded in the goodness of God. He is for you. He's true. His word is true. Anchor your life in the goodness of God. And that brings us back to our text about our spiritual father, Father Abraham, who we talked about Sunday. But Paul said this about him in Romans 4 and 20. It was our text where we read early. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. I've thought about that passage a lot because I don't think I can write that about myself. I never staggered. No. And you can't either. That's why you're laughing. But we know Abraham's story. Paul looks back and says he staggered not. But that doesn't mean he was perfect in his faith. It just means that when it was all said and done, he staggered not. Because when I read his life story, he staggered because he lied about his wife, afraid that something bad would happen. And God had to intervene and rescue them. When I read Genesis, I read about Ishmael being born. And we still live with the devastating consequences of that blip of faith. But when it was all said and done, Paul could write about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He might have stumbled. He might have had some challenges. But in the end, he never capitulated. He never surrendered. He never abandoned his hope. He just kept walking. Sometimes it didn't feel very good, and he may have not said he staggered not, but Paul looks back and says, our father Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And if he can do it, then we can do it. He was strong in faith. He gave glory to God. Why? Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able also to perform. I want to have that kind of steadfast, locked in determination and confidence in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That when I'm being just tossed to and fro, and even when I make dumb decisions guided by something less than perfect faith, that in the end, it can be said for me that he staggered not. He was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he would do. He was persuaded that God was who he said he was. He was persuaded that the word of God was true, and he walked with God with that confidence. That's what I want my testimony to be. Speaking of that saving work of Christ, Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Christ, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God are certain and sure and established, from the 8 souls who got on the ark in the flood to the 2 million souls who left Egypt in the Exodus, to the 120 who were in united prayer waiting in an upper room. God is faithful to his word. His promises are yes and amen. And I just want you to know you can be fully persuaded, whether you read it in the word of God, whether it's been spoken through the gifts of the Spirit, or whether God's in the small still voice in your morning prayer. If God speaks it, it is certain and it is sure. I can't give you the timetable. I can't tell you how it's going to happen, but this we know: God is faithful to his word. It shall come to pass. You and I can be fully persuaded in the promises of God. So in the third year of our Imagine campaign, where we stand in desperate dependence upon God doing what only God can do, we are not here by accident. Our vision is not fueled by human ambition. God put in our heart to expand our capacity for his glory and his mission. And so I remain fully persuaded that God will provide all that we need. I will not hedge my bets in faith. I will not try to come up with my mind with a scheme for how and why God didn't do what he said he would do. I am fully persuaded. He is God. He has spoken. He has directed. And let God be true. And every man a liar. I am persuaded that regardless of the challenges that I face and regardless of the challenges that I hear some of you face, that God will, he will exponentially replenish everything that I give to him. When I return my treasure that he gave me back to him, God's word declares I will return it. So hear his word in Luke 6 and 38. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. I am fully persuaded. How God chooses to bless me, I don't get to control. How the timetable God chooses to operate on, I don't get to dictate, but no matter of what he does, I am fully persuaded that every personal and every corporate promise shall come to pass, because in the end, I just remind you, it's just crumbs. But having said all that, ultimately, the promise that comforts me the most is the promise of his soon return. Paul said, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And I just feel strongly in my spirit that the Lord has sent me to comfort you tonight through his word, to encourage you to stand strong in your faith in God and in your faith in the word of God, to live fully persuaded in the love of God, in the goodness of God, in the promises of God, in the return of God, to live fully persuaded in your identity in Jesus Christ and your mission that you have from him. This is the word of God. It is true. It is certain. And you can live with confidence in that. Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation or hope and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. If you're able, please stand this evening. I don't know where your questions are. I don't know where the battle's at in your mind or your spirit or your heart. But I want you to know tonight that wherever on the spectrum of the Word of God that I've highlighted this evening that you are, that you do not have to live waffling in the decision, wondering. You can live fully persuaded in who God is. Your reconciliation with God through the gospel. To live a life that honors him in practical holiness. To know that you live with meaning and you live with mission from on high. To know without a shadow of a doubt that God is good all the time. And to know that every promise in the book is mine. It's yes and amen. It shall come to pass. And soon, and very soon, we shall see the Lord and we shall be with him forever and ever and ever and ever.